Welcome to Good Odds, Startups from Maine, the podcast of Upstart Maine. I'm Jason Harkins, professor of entrepreneurship at the University of Maine and co-founder of Scratchpad Accelerator.
Hi, I'm Lisa Liberatore. I am a serial entrepreneur. In addition to Scratchpad Accelerator, I also co-founded Covort, a co-working community in downtown Bangor.
Upstart Maine is a coalition of entrepreneurial support programs in the Bangor, Maine region. We're a small region of 150,000 people in eastern Maine where a growing group of entrepreneurs is coming out of higher ed and industry. We're here today to talk a little bit about how entrepreneurs are perceived to take big risks.
Huge risks, according to my family. They think I'm crazy. But what they don't see is that it's actually very calculated and that there is as much detail and run it to the ground as much as you can done before you make the jump, as it looks like on the outside where we're just running off a cliff.
Right. In the academic realm, we separate this distinction as the distinction between uncertainty or the unknowable unknown and risk and the knowable unknown. So in this series that we're calling Jumping Off the Cliff, we'll hear over the next several episodes how a variety of entrepreneurs in the Bangor region think about risk and how they concluded that their odds of success are really pretty good. So our first guest is Heather Lux.
She's awesome.
She absolutely is. She was in our last class of Scratchpad in 2017 and 2018. Do you want to talk a little bit about what we know about Heather and how she got to what she's doing today?
Sure. Heather and her startup, True North Beauty, live in a small town on a land that's covered with birch trees. And these birch trees have a mushroom called chaga. And she found a way to infuse this chaga into skincare products. And she created a business and is selling them online and throughout the region.
And what's really amazing about her process is that she's figured out a way to do this that was so unique that she was actually able to file for a patent.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing and helps to kind of lay the groundwork so that she can more confidently go after it, because she knows, at least in the short term, she's cornered that market.
Right. And so we're gonna hear first from her about how her experience in corporate America helped her to understand what it takes to move forward an entrepreneurial idea.
The entrepreneurial component really came out through my career with Nestle Waters. So Nestle Waters was formerly Perrier Group of America, and Perrier Group of America purchased a lot of smaller water companies across the country, including Poland Springs. And in Perrier Group of America, or what was known as Nestle Waters, a lot of the leaders working in that organization were founding leaders. So I was able to be a part of a fairly large organization that started out scrappy, and that they learned through trial and error how to really build a strong organization, one strong enough that Nestle ultimately wanted to acquire them. I think one of the things that stands out to me is, so of course, Nestle Waters, being a water company, is faced with a lot of concerns around their attention to environmental issues. And so Nestle Waters was one of the first companies to really take a stance on reducing the amount of plastic that they had in their bottles. And it was challenging because there's a lot of engineering that goes into that. There's a lot of trial and error. But there was also speed that was important. And so one of the things that I learned through working with Nestle Waters and the leadership team in general was this importance of getting it right enough to go to market that it's safe and that it's effective, but not waiting so long that it's perfect that you lose your competitive advantage. And that was huge for me. Again, working in human resources, we spent a lot of time talking about people issues, but for the first time, I really understood the importance of, you know, the ground roots of manufacturing and the importance of doing your due diligence up front and being comfortable taking on risk, if you will, when it's very calculated.
I think Heather is exactly right. As she was moving into this, being able to watch and learn from people in an organization that say, we have to do well, but we have to do fast, because there's always an opportunity cost to delay.
Right. And I think what she learned is she got that patent. And I think what she learned was, I'm going to get this in. It's good enough. And I'm going to keep iterating. So she's constantly trying new things, but using that core building block.
And we see that in some of the great tools that are out there that have been propagated about how are the ways that you can go about just making sure you learn and test assumptions continually, but always fail forward if you need to fail.
And pivot when necessary.
Right. So next we're going to hear a little bit about her talking about the role models that she got at Nestle and the importance of those role models as she thought about what her path would look like as she moved from or through her corporate career and ultimately to starting a startup.
So I think that there are a couple of models that that I've referenced as I've started this journey, one of which was the CEO of Nestle Waters. And I only interacted with him a few times, but he was an amazing leader, is an amazing leader. And because he was the founder of Perrier Group, you know, he had that entrepreneurial energy that was inspirational. And so I often, as I've been on this journey, referenced back things that I heard either him talk about or others talk about. You know, for example, the challenges that an entrepreneur will experience around funding their business. You know, one story that stands out to me was the story of fairly early on, they had a fleet of delivery trucks, and one of the trucks had a tire, a flat tire, and Kim didn't have the money in the bank, if you will, from the company. And so he literally pulled money out of his pocket to pay for that that tire. And I'm sure that money was earmarked for something else within the family, maybe groceries, maybe electricity. But he was so passionate about and convinced that what he was doing was the right thing, that he made that strategic decision to put the money towards the tire. So he's a very confident man. But he's incredibly humble at the same time. And I think that that's one of the things that I pulled from him. Even at times where Nestle Waters was faced with the competition from Pepsi and Coke in the early years and in this water battle, he was confident. He never allowed anyone to even for a moment suggest that success was not an option. I mean, to the extent that one of the phrases that we would use quite often is failure is not an option. And, you know, when I first started with the organization, that was a little daunting to me because everyone fails, right? But the message there was, if we fail, we're going to fail really fast and we're going to pick ourselves up and continue moving just as fast. And I think that that's really important because, you know, early in my entrepreneurial journey here, failure seems like something that happens every day. And I'm pretty comfortable with that because I'm learning. Hopefully I'm not repeating that same mistake every day, but I'm getting up and fighting the same way that I saw Kim and the leaders that I worked with fight.
I think what Heather says is really important. I definitely agree you need to find a role model, and it should be someone that you admire and that you aspire to be like and to kind of mimic them. And if you have the opportunity to interface with them, to do it. I know I have one such role model, Hugh Stevens. I didn't meet him for probably the first year that I knew him. He was an amazing mentor through Top Gun, which is a program of Upstart Maine that I was fortunate enough to take. But through that opportunity to meet him and to see how he viewed business and how he looked at the world gave me the confidence to grow my business. So I think that she's right. You definitely need a role model, and that this is part of this calculated risk and reducing it and getting better odds by finding someone to emulate.
Yeah. And what we see and what you hear Heather saying, which I think is so cool, is that you get to choose your role models. So choose people that you actually want to model their behavior or their outcomes. You are the combination of the five people that you hang out with the most or that you spend the most time around. And I think that's absolutely true. If you want to be an entrepreneur and you want to develop this confidence and figure out the ways to do these things better, find role models who have had some success or who have traits that you want to model And then you're really improving your odds of success, and you're really learning new skills rather than just leaving your role models to who you happen to be around.
And I think it's really awesome that she didn't interact with him very much, but look at that profound effect that he had. Read a book, like follow that person that you want to be, read their blog, and you will get just as much inspiration and learn and apply those lessons to yourself.
So as what we hear is Heather's journey leading up to True North Beauty. But what's great about the way that the story goes is she has to this point been in corporate America the entire time, albeit a fairly entrepreneurial corporate America. And so now we're going to start listening to Heather talk about what her process has been like and what her experience has been like as she's transitioned out of that and how she's gone to mitigate that risk as she starts her own business.
So I started making bath and body products about 7 years ago. And frankly, I was still working at Nestle Waters at the time. And the reason for making those products was purely a way for me to work through some creative energy that I had. I was successful in my career. I enjoyed the organization. I enjoyed what I did. But the passion that I wanted from life wasn't being fulfilled from my job. Mm-hmm. And so I started creating bath and body products and selling it at farmers markets in Portland, Maine. And that's where I actually met women, a lot of women like me, women that were struggling, trying to figure out how to balance a profession, family, life, and all the same time feeling beautiful and satisfied just as a person. From there, I then started making skincare products, and that's really where my energy has directed. This business is not as much about skincare as it is about the woman. I'm really focused. My why is very strong, and I think that that's one of the reasons why failure is not an option for me, because I believe that there are women out there that need me and my products. We focus a lot as a company on building confidence. My mission is to inspire confidence from several different angles. One is healthy, clear skin, but the other is really working with and helping women to find the confidence that they have within them and to inspire them to stand strong and feel confident.
And I think being able to, when you get a new challenge or you have a new obstacle, going back to who is my customer? Why and what do they need? I have very clearly who that person is. Am I making the decision for them? If the answer is yes, okay, does that also validate or feel good about my why? Or are you going to get customers but lose your passion because the money? And so just making sure that you're always staying aligned and you're using these two points to guide you.
So her talking to her customers, her really understanding what they want and why she cares about supporting them is so critical to enabling her to take those risks that do exist, but feel very confident and comfortable with the relative odds of her being successful over time to serve that customer base.
She had a very clear why. I think that that's a really important piece as we kind of talk about reducing our risk. It's being really clear on what's driving you. And then what we also saw was that she did what we would call customer discovery. She had, or I think it was actually the other way around, right? She was going out and talking to people and she was hearing things and she was gathering that. And that funneled into the why. That funneled into this passion of why am I starting a business? And I think what I hear with a lot of entrepreneurs and what is proven is it's not money driven. And I think that that's a really important piece when you're talking about the odds. It's not you're trying to be a millionaire, that you've got the customer discovery down and you've got the why, you've got the passion that's going to focus you and keep you going even in hard times.
When talking about motivation in the academic realm, we see that there are a number of studies that have identified alternative motivators for entrepreneurial activity besides making money. We see that independence or autonomy is a strong motivator, as well as the opportunity to achieve things or working for family. And indeed, even people who do things just for the intrinsic challenge itself. What we hope to see out of entrepreneurs is that that motivation is not just money-driven, because money-driven motivation is very difficult to satisfy, and it's easy to get discouraged. So we really want to see motivations that are focused on things other than just how much money can I make doing this business. So it was great to hear that Heather is focused on a why that goes well beyond the financial impact of her business as her motivation.
She took that motivation and she saw the risk. And when she was presented an opportunity, she saw it and she made very strategic moves to prepare herself so that when she took the jump, she was ready for it.
So I think from a risk perspective, I'm a very calculated risk taker. I like to think strategically and I like to start with the end in mind. So when I started making the bath and body products, I knew that I wanted to create a national brand that would reach women across the country. I didn't know exactly how I was going to do it. And at the time, I wasn't able to just quit my job and do it. But I knew that that's what I wanted. And so I continued working and candidly taking steps to secure myself financially, paying bills off. I actually took on a promotion at one point that wasn't what I wanted to do necessarily. I was really excited about my business and really wanted to spend more time working on my business rather than my career. But I knew that I would be able to gain some experience through that promotion. I would also be able to afford some of the things that my business needed to be in place before I left my career. And so I took the funds from that promotion and did things like built my website and invested in beautiful packaging, the things that I didn't know if I would that I would be able to afford when I left my career.
What you see there is somebody that is very diligent and was very clear that she was going to be successful, and she made a plan and she had the discipline to follow through on adjusting her lifestyle so that when she took the jump, that it wasn't going to be into icy cold water.
She's taking out that what we would call systematic risk, right? The I got to pay a mortgage and I have a car payment and I have a kid in college or whatever the expenses are. She's taking away those systematic things that she can easily control for, so that all that she's left with from a risk perspective is the things related to this particular venture, which then makes it that much easier for those risks to fit into a life. Because no matter who you are, no matter why you start a business, you're going to end up in a place where there is a life outside of the venture eventually. It might take a really long time,
yeah,
but there's a life outside of the venture. And so if you can make that life as fulfilling and independently stable as you can, so that the risks you take in the venture don't then spill over into the rest of everything, it does. That strategic thinking is absolutely critical in terms of making people feel more comfortable.
And I think there's one other risk that was present, and that is the risk that we all face as entrepreneurs is regret. What happens if I don't take this opportunity that I see in front of me that I'm so passionate about?
I believe in life that that there's regret all around us. And I really have spent much of my life focusing on minimizing regret. And regret and risk kind of go hand in hand for me. And so last fall, prior to last fall, for some time, I would say probably about a year and a half before, I knew that my job was at risk. I knew that I've spent my career doing organizational redesigns. And so I knew as the organization was shifting and changing that my position was probably going to be eliminated. And I had an opportunity at that point to either go out in advance of the original plan and start focusing on my business full time, or take on another role within the organization. And the way I looked at it is I thought I could potentially regret not taking the position with the organization, but I knew I would regret not taking this opportunity to strike out on my own and really put my energy into something that I'm incredibly passionate about full time. And so the risk was greater for me to not take this opportunity and just move forward with it.
I think what's really key here to see about this risk taking is she's not impulsive. Entrepreneurs may look like they're impulsive, but really the time between idea and action, there is a lot of work that's happening. And during that time is when they're building the self-confidence, when you're making the financial plans, when you're meeting the role models and you're changing behind the scenes. You are not impulsive. You are, in fact, very calculated and reducing that risk of failure.
Right. I mean, Facebook is notorious as the overnight 15-year success, right? I mean, everything that we've done together, everything that we've seen entrepreneurs do is really about them engaging in lots of little experiments to test lots of little assumptions to find ways to make it so that when they leap over the cliff, they have already got the parachute strapped to their back.
Learn more about Heather's story and True North Beauty at www.truenorthbeauty.com.
Thanks for listening to Good Odds, Startups from Maine. Our next podcast will feature another innovation-driven entrepreneur who took a different path to his startup. Meanwhile, learn more about Upstart Maine and our coalition of entrepreneurial support programs here in the Bangor region at www.upstartmaine.org. Coalition programs include incubators, accelerators, pitch and networking programs, co-working spaces, internship opportunities, and startup business education and lending. Together, we're building a community that fuels entrepreneurship. Let us know how we can help you pursue your dreams as an entrepreneur. This podcast was produced by Nescom Productions at Husson University. Jordan Verge is our audio engineer. I'm Jason Harkins.
And this is Lisa Liberatore for Upstart Maine.